hopefully, any minute now, the slides will come up. So, as we're waiting for it to come up, we're starting a series now around Advent. Advent. Advent means the coming. So, it's a time of looking forward to when Jesus came. So we're going to be thinking about that. What is it about Jesus coming that we're looking forward to? So we celebrate the looking forward to Jesus in lots of ways. All around us, there are lots of things that happen in anticipation of this great celebration at Christmas of Jesus coming. So let's do a little bit of a spot check here. So, I mean, who is wearing a Christmas jumper? Michelle. Who else has got a Christmas... Do you want to stand up, Michelle? Let's stand up and see the Christmas jumpers. Anyone else with a Christmas jumper? Yes. We're going to see more of those in the coming days. Kind of next Sunday, you must wear your Christmas jumpers. What about decorations? Who has their decorations and their trees in their houses? Yeah. Exciting. Who's done their Christmas shopping? Who has not started at all? Yeah. They're all the men. It's not good, that. Who has watched? We have a tradition in this country where we watch Christmas movies. Who has watched a Christmas film or a Christmas movie? Yeah. I watched one last night with my wife. Totally stupid and really great fun. What about an Advent calendar? Who has a calendar that you open a window and you either get a picture or you get some chocolate? Yes. I'm with you, Thomas. I've got one just like that. It's very good, actually. Oh, it's nice. So, unfortunately, my wife also has one. And if we're not careful, it'll be Christmas Eve before we know what. And it'll still be only the 3rd of December because she'll have opened all the windows because the chocolate's so nice. The other big thing that happens at Christmas, especially in Reading, today is a really special thing called the Toy Run. So has anybody heard of the Toy Run? So the Toy Run was started by somebody who was a member of this church, Ben Spiller, the late Ben Spiller, Jane's husband. He helped start it and run it. And what happens this afternoon, so be aware of it with the traffic, is there are thousands of people on motorbikes bringing toys for local children in hospital and children's homes and that sort of thing. So between 2 o'clock and 3 o'clock, lots of the roads will be shut because there are thousands of people on motorbikes, and it's organised by Christians. And people come from across the country on motorbikes, and they might hear about Jesus. So that's something special that happens here. And actually was started by local Christians, including Ben from here. That's amazing, isn't it? So we're going to look at some of the stories in the Bible about looking forward to Christmas. And we're going to hear more and more about them. But today we're going to start, in a sense, at the start of the Christmas story, which was the first time in the Bible, in the New Testament, where we hear about Jesus is coming. And we could call it the surprise. The fancy word is called the annunciation, or the announcement. This is a famous painting. This is a painting by one of my favourite artists called Fra Angelico, and this is painted on in a monk's cell in the San Marco monastery in Florence. It is the most beautiful place to go, because he has decorated every single monk's cell with a beautiful painting on the wall. Just, he is the most beautiful and exquisite painter, and this is on the wall. And you can see the angel Gabriel coming to Mary. We could spend all day talking about that painting, but we won't, don't worry. We don't know, the Bible doesn't tell us. Angels are neither male nor female, suspect. So anybody been to Florence in Italy? There's a couple of you. Anybody been to see this? Just me. Yeah, no. Yay. So, what happened? What does the Bible tell us? It says that in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, now Elizabeth was Mary's cousin, and we just read in Luke's Gospel, we're in Luke chapter 1, if you want to turn there, we've just heard that John the Baptist is coming. And he came, again, with an angel, came to his dad, and the dad, Zechariah, was like, didn't believe it, so he was struck dumb. Mary has a very different response, as we're going to find out. But it says, in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. Now you may know, how many prophecies do you think there are in the Bible written or given hundreds, thousands of years before Jesus was born? How many prophecies do you think there were about Jesus before he was born in the Bible? Anybody want to give me a number? How many? 300. Over 300, yes. Some people say it's a bit more, but it's at least 300. Okay? And we see here one of those prophecies being fulfilled. Because angel Gabriel comes to Mary and she is a virgin. And in Isaiah chapter 7 verse 14, it says that the Messiah will be born to a virgin. So immediately we're starting to see Jesus fulfilling the prophetic words given through the years about the Messiah coming. The interesting thing is, although there were 300 prophecies, when Jesus was born, the Jews were expecting a king to come in and biff the Romans out of the way and take control. So they completely misunderstood what Jesus was going to be like. They kind of read, he's going to be a king like David, and they hadn't really read Isaiah 53 that said he's going to be a suffering servant, or Isaiah 9 who said he's going to be born as a child. It's really interesting, we can so easily have an expectation of what God's like, but he doesn't move like we think he's going to. Anybody had that experience? God isn't quite what you think he is. You put him in a box and you go, I think he's like that. But he's not. He's amazing. We sound that. We saw that with Jesus. So, what's the chances of 300 prophecies being fulfilled in one person? You're intelligent, Mabel. Any idea? What's the chances of, make it easy, there's some people very, very good at maths here, aren't there? Okay, what's the probability of 8 prophecies being fulfilled in one person's life? It's a million, it's actually a million, 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 million. I think it's 1 to the power of 17. You had the million bit right, okay? And actually, one person fulfilling all the prophecies Jesus did is just impossible to imagine. Could only be done by Jesus. So, let's go on. So what happened? This surprise. What happened? So it says, so here's the virgin. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." I don't know about you, but if an angel appeared and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored," I'd be going, "What? What?" And it says, Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. What kind of greeting this might be? Mary was in shock. She was agitated. She was fearful. Says she was greatly troubled. The word that they translated means agitated greatly. One minute you're thinking about it, the next minute you're feeling it. She's thinking, what on earth is going on? An angel has come to me and said, "I'm highly favored." Oh my goodness. Nearly every time in the Bible when an angel comes, what's the first response of people?
Fear.
It's fear. Because the first thing the angel normally says is, "Don't be afraid." Okay? It's because people are like... So Mary is like, what's going on? What's going on? She's really churned up. And then it says, but the angel said to her, those words again, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God." Wow. My guess is Mary must have been living a life of seeking God, of prayer, of trying to follow God. So God saw what went on in her heart. Maybe nobody else did. Nobody else really knows what's going on inside your heart. They don't really know what you're doing, do they? I don't know about you, but we're all very good at putting the face on, especially when we come to church.
Hello.
How are you? I'm very good, thank you very much. And at home, all sorts of problems could be going on. In your heart, all sorts of problems could be going on. But there's a danger. We put on the church face and we smile. Okay? We'll look at in a few minutes about whether that's such a good thing always. But Mary, God found favor with her. And the angel went on and said, "You will conceive and give birth to a son. And you are to call him Jesus. And he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. And his kingdom will have no end." Never end. And I just wonder, Mary would hear those words. And I don't know, there's something about Mary that makes me think she's a good Jewish girl, that she would actually maybe have tried to study and understand the scriptures. Most of the time it was the boys that were taught, not the girls. But I suspect Mary was different. And maybe when she heard those words, she thought of the prophet Isaiah. And she thought of the words in the scroll of the prophet Isaiah. When it says in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, one of the prophecies, it says, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, and of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. And he will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever." went, gulp. That's me. That's now. That's what he's talking about. I mean, wow. If you knew that prophecy and you were Mary and in that moment the angel said these words over you, how would you feel? I mean, how would you feel? Wow. So we know that Mary, not unreasonably, asked the question, like, how will this be? I'm a virgin. I mean, how will this be? How will this be? This is amazing. This is unheard of. And it says, the angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, and so the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. And then he gives her a bit of information. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month, for no word from God will ever fail. So that's the only bit of explanation the angel needed to give. Look, God's Holy Spirit's going to come, and you're going to get pregnant. And by the way, Elizabeth, your cousin, who nobody thought could have a child, she's pregnant. It's quite a lot to process in a hurry for Mary. She's probably, what, 14, 15? Unmarried, but betrothed, so maybe engaged to Joseph, the carpenter. She'd been a really good, upright girl, and this has suddenly happened. So I don't know about you, how long do you need to process really big stuff that happens? Like, Jeff comes along, and Jeff meets Mabel, okay? I used to hear about this every Wednesday morning when we have a cup of coffee as a leadership team. It was very funny. I met this man. He's come all the way from Cardiff to see me. Oh, really? This is a story you've got to hear. And it was interesting week by week hearing more. And then it was like, he's asked me to marry him. What do you think we should do? It was, anyway, as you all know, they got married just over a year ago. Wonderful news. But it took a bit of time to process it, didn't it? Okay. Mary, angels arrived. You who are highly favoured. The Holy Spirit's going to overpower you. You're going to have a child. And he's going to be the Messiah. He's going to be the King of Israel. This is the one Isaiah spoke about. He's coming. Oh, and Elizabeth's pregnant. And what was Mary's answer? Maybe the most holy person in the Bible. Mary said, I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May your word to me be fulfilled. And then the angel left her. I don't think that somebody like Mary could respond to God's word like that and say, yes, Lord, unless she was ready in her heart. Unless she'd been spending time praying, seeking God, crying out to God, wanting to be like God. She had already decided, I want to follow God and do what he tells me to do. So she was ready when the word came, when the angel came. She was ready to say, yes, let your word be fulfilled. Even though it was God going to come into the form of a baby inside her. Jesus was coming, and she was going to carry Jesus. She went really quickly from being really agitated, oh my goodness, what's going on, to, I accept what you've said, Lord, and I will obey you. Amazing. I think Mary is one of the greatest examples of somebody being consecrated to God, ready to obey God. given over to what God wants to do in their life. So Mary says yes. So the Holy Spirit must have come, because it then says, at that time Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea. Because do you know what the big problem was? If you were a 15-year-old unmarried girl living in Nazareth and you got pregnant, anybody know what the big problem is for unmarried mothers in that culture? You'd get stoned. Okay, there was a real risk you would get stoned to death, good, according to the old Levitical laws. Okay, so she was in trouble. Okay, so it's not surprising she hurried, she went with haste away to see her cousin Elizabeth. Okay, you'd get out of there, you'd go somewhere safe. God had provided somewhere safe. He'd provided the cousin Elizabeth. So the sisterhood came together. The mother, Elizabeth, her cousin, was quite a lot older, but she was with child, miraculously. So of all the people in the world who'd probably be best placed to go, this is Mary, my cousin who I love, and I know really loves God, and she's telling me this, she's coming to me and she's got a baby, and God's come to me and I've got a baby miraculously. Something's up here. So what we hear, though, she says when she gets there, when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leapt in her womb. The baby was John the Baptist. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And in a loud voice, she exclaimed, well, you can't see that. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, and if you've got your Bibles open at John chapter 1, Luke chapter 1, you will hopefully be able to turn to it really quickly, because it's top of the page on page verse 42. And she said, this is Elizabeth said, prophetically under the power of the Holy Spirit. Okay? This is Elizabeth who believed that she was going to conceive. Her husband didn't believe, so he was struck dumb. Any husbands here been struck dumb? I mean, sometimes we choose to be struck dumb because it's safer, but Zechariah was struck dumb. But Elizabeth, Holy Spirit, come on, she was carrying down. The prophetic was working in her. The Holy Spirit was working in her. And then she has this amazing prophetic declaration. Just think about it. All she just does is see Mary come, and Mary's pregnant. And immediately she says, blessed are you among women. Blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? The mother of my Lord? She immediately has worked out. Hey, Rex, that's magic, mate. Thank you. The mother of my Lord. She'd immediately worked out, this baby inside you is my Lord, is God. Wow. I mean, she is quick to pick it up. As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leapt for joy. Blessed is she who has believed what the Lord, that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her. Isn't that an amazing that Elizabeth should see that and speak that out? Wow. Don't we need people in our lives who when we go to and say, I think God has told me this, don't just go, too much cheese. They'll go, that is amazing. They'll pray with us. They'll encourage us. They'll help us to take God's word to us and go with it. Yeah? Do you need people like that? And you're like, nudge the person next to you. If they're awake, nudge them hard. But if they nudge them gently, and say, I need you to encourage me. I mean, normally it's a bit louder than that. I need you to encourage me. We need each other to work through what God is saying to us in our lives. Okay? You probably don't, you're not going to have the Holy Spirit come and tell you you're going to have the child of God. Okay? It's not that. But God will still come and speak to you and give you a word or want to tell you what he wants to do in your life. And the question is, have you got people around you who are going to encourage you, who are going to strengthen you, who are going to say, yeah, let's pray with you. God gives you a promise. I'm going to believe that with you. I'm going to pray with you. Who wants friends like that in the church? Yeah, I do. I remember about 10 or 12 years ago, God spoke to me. I believe God spoke to me. It was so crazy, I thought I was going mad. So I wasn't quite sure, okay? And I thought, shall I keep quiet? Because it's easier sometimes when you think you've heard from God and you're thinking, sounds a bit weird. Or, will anybody believe me? Has anybody been in that situation before? This sounds, is it just me? Okay, there's a couple of wise people nodding here. I believed I heard God say, I want your business. So I run a business with some colleagues. We're a small business. There's only 10 of us, 9 of us. I want your business to give away £1 million a year. £1 million a year. I was like, sorry, God. £1 million a year? That's crazy. We don't even make £1 million a year. But I'd heard, I was really sure I'd heard God say it. So I went to my colleagues and I said, this may sound crazy, but I think I heard. And they said, yeah, let's believe that. Let's pray for that. Let's go for that. And I thought, oh, that's encouraging. And we did. But you know, life gets tough. And we weren't, we give away money, but we didn't give anything like that amount away because we weren't making very much profit. But we would give away 10% of our profit. So we could give away money each year. And then a few years ago, we were at a meeting in the church and they asked business people to go to the front. And I was at the, and I was, I remember standing kind of here like this. And the man, and I was thinking in my, just thinking inside, like you do, what was all that thing about £1 million, God? What was all that thing about giving away £1 million? Wasn't I being crazy? And the man here said, went to pray for me and he said, because you're thinking of a specific amount of money, God says he's going to do it. Prayed for me for the Holy Spirit and then I fell on the floor. And I'm lying on the floor going, oh dear, you've just said yes twice to £1 million. You must be speaking to me, God. Do you see when God does that and you're going, how am I going to believe that? How can I live in the light of that promise? Now, it may not happen in my lifetime. It may happen in the next generation. But am I going to grab hold of that God wants to bless my business and make my business a blessing that we can give away money? Okay. Last year we got to £42,000 we gave away. Okay, so we're getting closer. Okay, but we've got a long way to go. So don't we all need people who are going to stand with us and encourage us when we hear the promises and the word of God in our lives? Okay? You are not supposed to be a Christian on your own. Okay? It is not a solo call. I'd go so far to say you cannot really grow as a Christian on your own. You need other people. So the good news or the bad news is we sit in the pews and the people we've got to help us are the people around us. Okay? Now, God knows what he's doing, so he's given me Thomas to encourage me, and Mabel to give me a kick up the backside, and Joanna to strengthen me, okay? But he's given you each other to help you on your journeys, okay? There is no plan B, okay? It is not that God's saying, you know, there's a bunch of really super spiritual Christians out if I could just find them, who are going to help me grow up as a Christian and take God's word seriously. No, no. This is plan A. This is it. Okay? You can turn to the person next to you and say, thank you, God, for my friends. Thank you, God, for my family. They're the ones who are going to take me and help me take God's word forwards. So, Mary, she had this amazing affirmation, this encouragement from Elizabeth. Yeah, the baby inside you is my Lord, is Jesus. This is amazing. And then we see in Luke chapter 1, verse 46, we have a song. It's called the Magnificat, okay? Mary's song. She sings out this song. My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour, for he's been mindful of the humble state of his servant. And from now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. And she goes on. She goes on. But basically, it's the story of how God changes and turns situations round. She quotes from the Psalms, the songbook of the Old Testament. She speaks out, my God is amazing. She glorifies God. Literally, we use the English word magnifies there. The root of the word, which is where we get Magnificat from. Anybody sung the Magnificat here? It's a way of, there's a song that if you grew up in the Church of England, we used to sing the Magnificat a lot, didn't we, as part of communion services and something. You could probably do it for me now, Janet, could you? Yeah, we sung it. But Magnificat, the word magnify, comes from the Latin word is megaluno. Okay? We get the word mega. So when you say, when we go, mega, which means great, mega, comes from the same root as Mary had here. She's like saying, wow, God is mega. He's huge. He's big. It's the same Latin word. It's amazing that. But so Mary's speaking about how God is amazing, drawing from the Psalms. But she also would have remembered this lady, an Old Testament lady with a similar story-ish. This is Hannah. Hannah, if you remember, Hannah was married to Elkanah. In those days, they had, it's a very, very bad idea, please don't do it. Elkanah, the husband, had two wives. Okay, don't do it. Doesn't work, okay? First, one wife had lots of children. Hannah couldn't have any children. First wife with lots of children basically made Hannah feel bad. Hannah really wanted to have a child. Really, really wanted to have a child. And every year when they would go up to the house of God, they would sacrifice and they'd cry out. And one year she went out and in what we read this in 1 Samuel 2, and she was praying and praying and praying. She was praying so fervently that Eli, the priest, came up and said, are you drunk? Are you drunk? Because she was praying with tears. It's interesting, isn't it? Happened at Pentecost. Sometimes people mistake God at work for people being drunk, because they're not used to the emotion and the passion. And Eli was like questioning Hannah. And Hannah said, no, 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 no. I am desperate for God. And Eli I said, God's going to do it. And she had a baby boy, Samuel, who went on to be an amazing prophet, who's the one who anointed David as king. Jesus is in the line and descendants of David as a king. And what happened to Hannah when she'd had Samuel? She also had a song, which you can't read. But her song was very similar. Her song was 1 Samuel 2, this is, "My heart rejoices in the Lord. For in the Lord my horn is lifted high, my mouth boasts over my enemies, for I delight in your deliverance. There is no one holy like God. There is no one beside you. There is no rock like our God." We've just been singing that. She sings about the turnaround God, the God who comes into really difficult situations and turns them around, the one who does mighty deeds, the one who raises the poor from the dust, lifts the needy from the ash heap, who turns things around. Thank you. So both women, when they're pregnant, where they're going to have this amazing child of God, Samuel, Jesus, one of them had been longing for it. Hannah had been longing for a baby. Mary, completely out of the blue, shocked and surprised. Both of them seeking God. Both of them obeying God. Both of them knowing that their sons are called by God to do amazing things. Both of them worshipping God because he turns situations around. So I'm sure Mary knew Hannah's song as well when she sang. So, two questions as I close. So two questions for us to think about. So bad things happen to us in life, don't they? Difficult times happen. Yeah. For some of you emigrating here to this country and leaving behind Hong Kong has been really tough. For others of you, you've got problems with health, or you're trying to find work, or there's problems in your family. There can be all sorts of things that cause us pain and difficulty. That's interesting. There's a really nice picture that goes with it, but it's not there. So we saw this in Mary. We saw Mary's fear and agitation. We saw Hannah. She's infertile. She's desperate for a child. What did they do? Yes, they cried out to God, but they went for help. Hannah went to Eli, the priest. Mary went to Elizabeth. If you're having a tough time, if life is hard, do not keep it to yourself. Tell people you trust around you, people you love. If you don't know who to tell, come and tell Joanna or Mabel. But tell somebody. Don't try and go through it on your own. We were not made, even as Christians, even with Jesus, to do it on your own. We were made for family. Okay? We need each other. Okay? We need each other. So please, seek the Lord, go for help. He is a turnaround God. He is the God who changes things. One of the things that Jesus was said, he said in Revelation 22, he said, okay, Jesus said in Revelation 22 verse 16, he sent his angel to the churches, but he says, "I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright morning star." David is the bright morning star. Do you see there? Dawn, is coming. There's one star, the bright morning star. The bright morning star is the one that you start to see that says, it's nighttime, it's dark. But morning is coming. Dawn is coming. Hope is coming. Jesus is the bright morning star. However tough and difficult life is, Jesus is the bright morning star. He's the one who brings hope. He's the one who brings turnaround in darkness. We sang it earlier, didn't we? When Benjamin and Co were singing, great are you, Lord. You give life. You are light. You bring light to the darkness. You give hope. You restore. Broken hearts. So please, please, please know that God is the turnaround God. Jesus is the one who can turn us around. And my second question, my final question is, so how will you respond to the call of God? Mary was the first person in the New Testament who ever received Jesus. She literally received Jesus into her body and carried him as his mum. Okay? And we're going to celebrate that over Christmas. This incredible fact that God became man and was born of a woman. And actually a refugee woman fleeing. We'll learn all about that if you haven't already learnt it all in the coming weeks of the Christmas story. But when we look forward, the question is, when I'm looking forward to Jesus coming, am I saying yes to Jesus? Or am I just going along to church every Sunday morning with the church smile on? Okay? Am I really responding to Jesus, saying, like Mary did, yes, let it be to me. Lord, I want everything you've got for me. That's the question. Are we going to let Jesus in? Jesus said in Revelation, he said, and this was to a church, this was to people like you and me in a church, here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me. Are we going to let Jesus into our lives? The Jesus we're looking forward to at Christmas came as a babe, as a man, lived a spotless life, died on the cross for your sin, your rebellion, all the things that got in between you and God. He died for it. He's dealt with it. He's the restorer. And he rose from the dead on the third day. And he's ascended to heaven. And he's at the right hand of the Father. And he says now, will you let me into your life? Don't try and do it on your own. Be like Mary. Say, yes, God. Will you let him in? So that this Christmas, this time of Advent, we're not just looking forward to more Christmas jumpers, although they're good, more Advent calendar chocolate, although it's nice, more Christmas decorations, although they're sparkly, more Christmas movies, though they make us smile, lots of turkey, although it makes us fat. No, no, no. Presents that we have fun with. No, no, no. We're looking forward to Jesus, the Lord of all creation, coming and saying, I want to live in you. I want to be in your life. However dark it is, or difficult it is, let me in and I will bring light. Shall we pray? Would you like to bow your heads? I'm going to pray first off. If you have never invited Jesus into your heart, you have never said yes to God like Mary did, I want to pray for you. If that's you, when everybody else has got their eyes closed and their heads bowed, would you just put your hand up and I will pray for you. If you've never asked Jesus into your life, but you say, yes, I want this Christmas Jesus to come into my life, would you put your hand up in the air and I will pray for you. Okay, I'm going to pray for us all then, because none of us are either brave enough to put a hand up, or we've already done it before. But let me pray. Lord, I pray that each one of us would truly receive you into our hearts this Christmas. Lord, not just as somebody we read about, we see pictures of, but Lord, as our Saviour and Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. And I want to pray for one other group of people. So, people going through a really hard time. Okay? You're going through a tough time. You don't need to say what it is, but you need God to do the mighty deeds that Mary spoke around and Hannah spoke around. You need God to turn things around. I felt like when I was preparing, God said, tell them prophetically, I am the turnaround God. And I want to come into your situation and change it. So if you need a job, if you've got health problems, if you've got problems in your relationships or your marriage, if you just are crying out to God because you don't know what to do and you're full of worry, God wants to come in and change that. So you don't know to see what it is, but it would be good. If you just want to recognize that's you, just put your hand up or stand up in some way, and I just want to pray for you. And I know that will be lots of us in that situation, okay? There's some situation in my life where I need God to come and move. So let's just acknowledge that's us. Put your hand up. That's great. Let's close our eyes and let's pray together. Lord, I thank you that you are the turnaround God. You are the bright morning star who comes into situations where we can be full of fear and anxiety and we just don't know the way through. Lord, I thank you that you are the turnaround God. And we invite you, we ask you to come into our situations, into our lives, and bring change and turn around. Would you come and do mighty deeds afresh in our lives? Lord, I pray for jobs where jobs are needed. I pray for financial provision where that's needed. I pray for healing of marriages and relationships where that's needed. I pray for healing of bodies and minds where that's needed. Lord, would you come, whatever we need, and be the turnaround God to bring restoration and healing and hope, because that's who you are, Jesus. You are the one of whose reign and government there will be no end. We bless you, worship you, and praise you now. Come, Jesus, into our lives. Amen. Amen. And my encouragement is, when we finished the service, don't rush away if you want prayer. The ministry team can be here. There are people here. We would love to pray with you that you will see how God works in your lives to bring turnaround. Amen? Amen. Joanna.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Alison.